Storms of life are an unfortunate reality for every single one of us. There's nothing that you and I can do that can prevent us or exempt us from experiencing the storms of life. Money, education, talent, not even a relationship with Jesus prevents storms from surfacing in our lives. While it might be bad news that the storms of life will rage, the good news is that God meets us in the middle of every storm. I've been asked an important question, and that question is the foundation of the message I want to share with you today. If there's nothing I can do to prevent storms, then what can I do? The question isn't, is the storm coming? Will there be a storm in my life? The question isn't, is the storm coming? The question is, what do you do when the storm comes? You see, when the storms of life show up on our radar, we can respond to a storm as someone who knows Christ or someone who doesn't know Christ. We can respond to our storm as someone who has been empowered with the Holy Spirit or someone who is just living out of natural strength. We have a choice as to how we respond to our storms. How you and I respond to storms, that is, how we respond to adversity in our lives, goes a long way toward us realizing our divine potential. How do we maximize the potential that God has put in our life, responding to adversity appropriately? Why do some people never fulfill all that God has for them? Because when a storm of life comes, we shrink and shrivel up. Yet some people seem to go to a whole other level when storms of adversity come into their life. The choice is ours. We can respond in faith or we can respond in fear. This begins with understanding today that a right response to the storms in our life flows from right thinking. A right response to storms flows from right thinking. When my thinking is right, my response will be right. If I'm thinking as someone that knows Christ, then my response will be as someone that knows Christ. This is the importance of Romans chapter 12, that we don't be conformed to this world, but we be transformed by the renewing of my mind. So as my thinking becomes in line with God's mind, as my thinking represents the Word of God, I think appropriately so I can respond to my storm appropriately. But if I continue to go through the life thinking the thoughts that I had, the same level and type of thinking, negative and defeatist and victim mentality that I had before I know Christ, then how am I going to respond to my storm as a negative, defeatist, victim mentality? So everything begins with getting my thinking in line with the Word of God. And when I have that, I can respond to my storm based out of the knowledge of God's Word. A first base approach to this is knowing the difference between fact and truth. Know the difference between fact and truth. Well, isn't fact and truth the same thing? No, it's not. You need to know the difference between the facts of your storm and the truth of your storm. Because there will be times, in fact, I would say the majority of the time, the facts of your storm are going to be in opposition to the truth of your storm. The facts of your storm is the information, the statistics, the data, the numbers, the finances, the doctor's report, the bank statement, the bills, what the lawyer said. That's the facts of your storm, how you feel, the facts of your storm. Those facts can change. The truth of your storm is what God says, and that never changes. So there's going to be times when the fact of your storm is in opposition to the truth of your storm. Now you have a choice. Are you going to agree with the facts of your storm or the truth of your storm. And where you put your agreement determines your victory or your outcome. Unfortunately, so many of us obsess over the facts of the storm and ignore the truth about our storm, when what you and I need to do, if we are followers of Christ, we need to obsess over the truth of our storm, because the facts can change. So knowing the difference between fact and truth gets you halfway there to seeing victory in your heart. First of all, the fact is storms will come. The truth is faith in God is greater than any storm. The fact is storms will come. And if all you do is obsess on that, well, storms are going to come. Why should I try? And we give up before we've even started. I'm going to have storms in any relationship. Why do this? Why get to know people? Why invest in people? Why do that? I'll just keep myself closed off, build walls around my heart. Storms are going to come. Why do anything? I can obsess over that, or I can obsess over the truth of the storm, which is that faith in God is greater than any storm. You got your Bible? Let's look at Acts chapter 27. In this series, we're zeroing in on Paul and his storm and eventual shipwreck in Acts chapter 27. Acts 27, verse 8. If you're not familiar with where the book of Acts is, the New Testament begins with Matthew, then Mark, then Luke, then John, then the book of Acts. Find 27, that's the big number, 2-7, verse number 8. Acts 27, verse number 8. If you don't have a Bible or have it, a phone or a device with it, we have it on the screens for you. Acts 27, verse number 8. Paul, or the writer here, Luke, says this. We moved along the coast with difficulty and came to a place called Fair Havens near the town of Lasea. Much time had been lost and sailing had already become dangerous. Then on into verse 10, it's recorded that Paul says this. Men, I can see that our voyage is going to be disastrous. There's a progression there in those verses that I want you to see. Verse 8 says, difficulty. Then dangerous. Then verse 10 says, disastrous. It's a progression of a storm that perhaps you're familiar with, from difficult to dangerous to disastrous. The fact of the storm is that life can move from difficult to disastrous. The facts are that you can have a storm that surfaces in your family that moves from difficult to disastrous. The facts are that you can have a storm come into your career and your finances, your business, your job, that can move things from difficult to seemingly disastrous. That's the facts. But the truth is, if you're in Christ, you're an overcomer. I choose to put my hope in the truth rather than the facts, because the facts have to submit to the truth. 1 John chapter 5, verse 4 says this. For everyone born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith. Who is it that overcomes the world? Only the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. I love that. Everyone. For everyone that is born of God. You know what that means? If I have repented of sin, I've put my faith in Jesus Christ as my Savior and Lord, then I am included in that word, everyone. Can you shout that with me right now? Everyone. For everyone born of God overcomes the world. It doesn't say you're an overcomer if you do these five things, or if you've never done this, or if you've done these, jump through these hoops. It just says if you're born of God, you overcome the world. That means no matter the storm that comes against you, and storms will come, you're an overcomer. Simply because you're in Christ. Not because you're smart enough, not because you're well-connected, not because you have enough money to buy your way out of it. Simply because you received Christ, you are now an overcomer. You may have been a failure at everything. You may have been defeated by everything. You may have been kicked off the team, the last one chosen on the team. When they played Red Rover, they never called you over. That doesn't matter. If you're in Christ, you're an overcomer. Somebody needs a second to get it together. See, here's the thing. Storms reveal what's already in you. Sometimes people say, well, a test builds faith. A storm builds faith. No, it doesn't. Knowing the Word of God builds your faith. There's nowhere in the Scripture that it says a test builds faith. What you do find is Romans chapter 10 that says faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. Storms of adversity reveal what is already in us. In a storm, what's in you comes out of you. How many's ever had a situation where you were in a storm, the pressure was on, life was difficult, and you said something, you responded in a certain way, and you're like, oh my gosh, where did that come from? I'll raise both hands and one leg. I know I'm not the only one that's been there. Some kind of expression, some kind of word, maybe you hear something about someone or you see something, and something comes out of you, and you're like, I didn't know I feel that way or thought that way. What was that? And conviction hits your heart. Like, where in the world did that come from? See, the thing is, storms pull out of you what has been hidden inside of you. Let me say it to you like this way. When you squeeze an orange, orange juice comes out of it. Because the only thing that can come out of that orange is what's inside the orange. Now, no matter how much you may desperately want apple juice to come out of the orange, it ain't happening, Jack. Orange juice is coming out because the only thing that can come out of the orange is what's in the orange. And there's been times in my life that when the pressure and stress of the storm is on, that something came out of my heart, something came out of my mind, and I wish the response had been different. I wish I would have responded in faith. I wish I would have responded with more grace. I wish I would have responded with more hope. I wish I would have responded with more positivity. But at that time, something came out of me that I said, where in the world did that come from? I'm supposed to believe God. And yet here's this doubt and here's this worry that comes out of me. It revealed there's something in my heart I need to take to the cross. So here's what we need to do. If you're in a storm and you're not liking what's coming out of you, change what's in you. Change what's in you. If you say, man, I'm in a storm of my life right now, and there is just hate coming out of me, there's worry coming out of me, there's just bitterness coming out of me, fear coming out of me. There's just all kinds of negative. I don't like what is coming out of me in the storm. Then here's what we got to do. Change what you're putting into you. There are some people, when you are in a storm, you have to starve fear and feed faith. When you're in a storm, you have to starve fear and feed faith. So I'm going to change what's coming into me so I can change what's coming out of me. That means that I'm going to spend more time in prayer and in the Word than what I normally do. That means I'm going to spend more time around people of faith than what I normally do. That means if I need to change what's in me so I can change what's coming out of me, that it's more profitable to me when I'm driving down the road, instead of listening to golden oldies and classic rock and top 40, that I'm going to spend the time in every atmosphere I'm in getting faith into my heart, getting positive teaching coming into my heart. Then it's not that I'm going to go to hell because I like some Journey, because don't stop believing. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Just a small town. Never mind. Got to keep it holy. But it's that when I'm going through a storm, faith is what moves God, not trouble. Our problems is not what moves the hand of God, it's faith. So if I'm going to see deliverance come, then faith has to come out of me, not fear. So if I need faith to come out of me, I've got to put faith into me. Here's the second thing we need to know. The fact is, circumstances can lead to logical conclusions. But the truth is, God hasn't called us to live by logic, but by His Word. Circumstances can lead to logical conclusions. But the truth is, God hasn't called us to live by logic, but by His Word. Acts 27, verse 11 says, "But the centurion, instead of listening to what Paul said, followed the advice of the pilot and the owner of the ship. Since the harbor was unsuitable to winter in, the majority decided we should sail on, hoping to reach Phoenix and winter there. This was a harbor in Crete facing both southwest and northwest." Paul says, "I don't think we need to go on. I've talked to God. God says there's something coming you can't see right now. We don't need to move forward." And the centurion, the Roman leader that's leading this ship of prisoners, doesn't listen to Paul, but he listens to what seems to be logical. He listens to the owner of the ship and the captain of the ship and say, "Hey, we have a headwind. Let's go now and we can make good time." It was all about profit margin. If we get there quicker, we can make more money. If we stay here, we're going to lose time, which means we're going to lose money. And he listened to what seemed like the logical thing to do. How many times have I been in the same place? There's a choice. There's circumstances. And the logical thing seems to be the most profitable for me. And I go on with what's logical. I go on with what seems to make sense. And I ignore what God is saying. Every time we do that, we get ourselves in trouble. Every time we ignore what God is saying and we follow what seems to be logical, we get ourselves in a situation that is requiring a mess to be cleaned up. Most times, when people will say, "Here's what I'm thinking about doing," they're really not seeking wise counsel. They're just letting you know what they're going to do. Just to be very plain and put it bluntly, as a pastor, people frequently come to me and say, "Pastor, here's something on my mind. That's what I'm thinking about doing. I'd like to know what you feel like from God's Word would be the right thing to do." The majority of the time, people are not asking for genuine biblical counsel. They're just coming to me wanting me to sign off on what they've already decided to do. And here's what that tends to mean. "Pastor, I'm just giving you a warning, giving you a heads up. This is what I'm going to do. And in a little while, I'm going to need you to clean up my mess." If you have kids, you know what I'm talking about. And I'm going to camouflage the desire for you to approve what I'm doing in the sense of asking for wise counsel, but that's just a facade. I already have my mind made up. So I've basically come to the point, go ahead and do what you want to do, because you can't pour into a full cup. Here's what Scripture says about it. Proverbs 19:21, "Many are the plans in a man's heart, but it's the Lord's purpose that prevails." And the temptation when we're in a storm is just to make knee-jerk reactions. "Well, I've got a decision to make. Something's got to happen. I'm in a hurry. Things got to turn around." And we just do what seems logical to do rather than slowing down and letting God speak to us. And then we follow God's direction. So I want you to remember this acronym. We talked about this several months ago, but I want to come back and get it for those of you that may not know. STP. Stop, think, pray. "Oh, but I got to do something now." No, you've got time to STP. Stop. Don't do anything. Don't move. Don't sign anything. Don't say anything. Don't go anywhere. Don't do anything. Just stop. Collaborate. And listen. STP. Some of y'all are like, what kind of church did I step into today? I've heard Journey. I've heard Vanilla Ice. Come back next week. We may hit some Hank Jr. We want everyone to feel welcome. Stop. Don't get in a hurry. Slow down. Don't just go follow the way that seems right unto man. Stop. Think about it. If I do this, if I go this route, what's going to happen? Imagine your life is a movie and hit fast forward 5 years from now. What's going to be the result of this decision? Think about it. Is this the wise thing to do, or does this just seem like the logical thing to do? If someone else was in my shoes and they were asking me for advice, what would I tell them? Think about it. If this was my child, my grandchild in this situation, what would I tell them? Think about it and pray. Now, when I say pray and you're in a storm, I'm not talking about King's English, how polished of a prayer, how eloquent of a prayer. Oh, our Father who art in heaven, thou seest that I am in a stormist. In thy divine mercy, in the treasure house of your grace, if thou would find it to beest in thine will. No. When Peter stepped out of the boat and looked at the winds and the waves and started to drown, I assure you he did not recite the Lord's Prayer. What kind of prayer did he pray? Help! Or maybe even, Jesus! Pray. Get some time to hear the heart of God. Follow his direction rather than logic. Logic is based on circumstances, and circumstances change. Several years ago, I had been invited to speak at a larger church in another state. I was a traveling evangelist going around the country doing different kinds of meetings, and I had been invited to speak at a larger church, and the pastor was a hero of mine. I'd come to Christ under his ministry. I responded to the call to preach under his ministry. And now at a very early young age, I was invited to speak at a meeting at his church. And it was a highlight for me. I was supposed to speak one night, and it turned into 8 nights. God was just moving in a tremendous way. I forget how many people received Christ that week. Powerful things happened. And the opportunity came for me to become a staff member at that church, be an associate pastor at that church. To me, it was a logical thing to do. Move to another state. I was a single man. The salary, the compensation was going to be tremendous. Would have an opportunity to work along someone I highly respected. It just seemed like the logical thing to do. And as I go back to my home in Indiana and started to make preparations to move away and move to this other state and work in this church, I thought, well, you know, since we are talking about the things of God, it probably would be a good idea if I, you know, just to kind of cover myself and pray about it for a minute. And just so I can say, if someone said, have you prayed about it? I could say, yeah, because I really know the writing's on the wall. This is God. This is the logical thing to do. So I went into my home church and I got there on the stage and I began to pray and I said, Lord, I know this is you, but I'm going to go to Michigan. And just as clearly as you're hearing my voice, that auditorium was empty. I heard the Holy Spirit say, no. I'm looking around. Lord, I know this is you. And I listed all the reasons why. And I said, it just makes sense. It's just logical. It's just natural. This is a good career move for me. I like these people. I've got friends there. This is Pastor so-and-so. It's a safe place. I'll be financially set to start to get ready for the rest of my life. It's a good thing to do. And again, very clearly, I'm thinking someone's speaking over the PA system. No. I got mad at God. I got offended at God. And again, I heard that voice say, if you go, I won't be there. I got so mad at God. There was a chair, just like one of these chairs, sitting on the stage. I grabbed it and hurled it across the stage. I'd already made plans. I'd already made preparations. I'm moving to this place. And God convicted my heart. I said, all right, Lord. I don't know why. Well, I don't know why you're keeping me from this. But I won't go. And I started to leave. And I felt the Lord speak to me. Go put the chair back where you found it. Now, what I didn't know was that was in September. What I didn't know was that the following February, God moved me from Indiana to Jellico, Tennessee, where I ended up half an hour from a girl that I had been getting to know and emailing, and we went on our first date. Now, she's my wife. Had I went on and moved to Michigan, I would have missed out on the person God had for me. I wouldn't be in Pikeville, Kentucky. I would be outside of God's plan for my life. And more importantly, outside of the presence of God working in my life. Because it just seems logical. And yet we find ourselves doing those same kind of things in the everyday rhythm of life, especially when the pressure of storms are on. So I want you to remember STP. Stop, think, pray. Number three, the fact is your storm has a powerful name. But the truth is, God has given you the power of a name above every name. Acts 27:14 says, not long after, a tempestuous wind arose called Euroclodon. Euroclodon. Now, you know you're in a real storm when they name it. When the Weather Channel shows up outside your house, and that guy is standing there, and the cameras, that's who I really feel for, is the camera guy. You don't see him. He's back there. Everybody else is moving around and taking cover, and he's back. What about me, guys? When the Weather Channel shows up and they have named your storm, get out of Dodge. That's when you know you're in a real storm, because not every rain cloud gets a name. Only certain storms get named. Katrina, Andrew, Hugo. Only certain storms get a name. Listen, the storms of life have a name too. Cancer, unemployment, divorce, death and loss of a loved one, foreclosure, bankruptcy, addiction. And just like the names Katrina, Hugo, and Andrew, just like the names of those storms evoke strong emotion and memories, so the names of these storms of life evoke fear and strong emotions and memories. There are names of storms that are meant to bring fear into our hearts. But listen, Satan made a mistake when he gave your storm a name. Because Philippians 2:9 says, God has exalted Jesus to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name. I don't know what the name of your storm is, but when they gave it a name, that name went on file in heaven. And it now is one amongst the millions upon millions upon millions of other names that is inferior to the name of Jesus. The name of cancer may be great, but it's inferior to the name of Jesus. The name of diabetes may be great, but it's inferior to the name of Jesus. The name of death may be great, but it's inferior to the name of Jesus. The name of addiction may be great, especially in this area, but it's inferior to the power of the name of Jesus. So what do I do, Pastor? How can I walk this out in distinguishing between fact and truth? Let me wrap this up really quickly. In every storm, we have choices to make. And I want to give you two choices really quickly that you and I make in every storm. First of all, we can be paralyzed or we can be perfected. In every storm, we can be paralyzed or we can be perfected. Acts 27:33, just before dawn, Paul urged them all to eat. He said, "For the last 14 days, you have been in constant suspense and have gone without food. You haven't eaten anything. Now I urge you to take some food. You're going to need it to survive. Not one of you will lose a single hair from his head." Paul said, "You've not been doing anything for days. You've been paralyzed by fear." You've been paralyzed by fear. They had already received the word from God. The angel showed up in the storm and said, "No one's going to die. Not even a hair of your head is going to be harmed." And yet here comes an evidence that says what God said is not going to happen. They agreed with the facts rather than the truth. And they become paralyzed by fear. That's what happens to all of us. We're in a storm. God speaks to us, whether through prayer, whether through his word, whether through another person. God speaks to us, says, "Everything's going to be okay." And then the very next day, here comes the enemy with new circumstances that causes you to be paralyzed by fear. Do you know what fear is? F-E-A-R. It's false evidence appearing real. False evidence that appears real. We have some attorneys in the house, in this church. You all understand evidence. It's to bring you to a conclusion. And Satan wants to put false evidence in the storm of your life to take you to a conclusion. And that conclusion is that you're going to perish in the storm. That God has forsaken you. God has forgotten you. You're on your own. But what I want you to know is fear is false evidence. It's been planted. So I can be paralyzed by fear in my storm, or I can be perfected. Hebrews chapter 13 verse 20 says, "Now may the God of peace strengthen, complete, and perfect and make you what you ought to be and equip you with every good thing that you may carry out his will." God says, here's what's going to happen. If you will not allow fear to grip your heart, I'm going to use this storm to perfect you. Meaning that I can take all of these negative circumstances and these winds and waves of the storm, and I can bring them all together and make you more like Christ after the storm than you were when you went into the storm. I'm coming out of the storm more equipped, more perfected, more like Jesus than I was when I went in the storm. God even uses your storms to make you more like Jesus. I can be perfected or I can be paralyzed. Here's second choice. I'm going to wrap up right here. I believe there's many people in this room right now that have this same choice. I can choose the past or I can choose the future. I can choose the past or I can choose the future. Acts 27:41 says, "Falling into the place where two seas met, they ran the ship aground. And the forepart, the front, stuck fast and remained unmovable. But the hinder part of the boat was broken with the violence of the waves." The boat goes aground. The back of the ship is broken. The front of the ship is secured. The past of the ship is in broken pieces. The front of the ship, the future of the ship, is strong and secure. Here's what I want to encourage someone right now to do in the middle of your storm. Stop running to the back of the ship and start running to the front. When we get in storms, A common response is to go to our past. When we get in the storms and the struggles of life, the common response is to run to the back of the boat, to run to our past, to run to old relationships, to run to old habits, to run to what we're familiar with, run back to the hang-ups, to the patterns, to the people, to the things that Jesus died to deliver us from. Because it's what we know. It's our comfort. It's our security. And the problem is there's so many people that have prayed a prayer and are born again, but their security and their comfort is not in Jesus. It's in our past. So when life gets hard, we run to the back of the boat. But the problem is the back of the boat, the past of the boat, is nothing but brokenness. It's broken apart. It's broken pieces. It's shattered. It's pain. It's hurt. But the front of the boat, the future of the boat, is secure and unmovable. And someone today needs to hear the heart of God speaking to you. Please stop running to the back of the boat. It's time to run to the front of the boat. Stop running to the past and the old hurtful, painful habits and things. Even, listen, I'm talking to someone that there's a part of your past and your history that we run to when you get stressed out, when the job gets difficult, when your schedule gets out of hand, when finances are tight, and you run to something that no one knows about. You run to a drink. You run to a pill. You run to a person. You run to a rendezvous with someone you don't need to be with. We run to it and nobody knows about it. But it makes us feel comfortable in a storm. And we keep going to the back of the boat. And there's nothing there but broken pieces. And God's saying, come on, I'm not back there in that. I'm up here in the front. I'm in your future. I'm in a place where if you come to me, if you come to the front of the boat, it's anchored and it's unmovable and it's solid because the rock won't move. I don't know who I'm talking to today, but I want to tell you what's behind you may be broken and painful, may be hurt, regret, bad decisions. No matter how broken your yesterday is, in Jesus, your future is secure. No matter how broken the back part of your ship is, in Jesus, the front is secure. The back part of your ship may be people leaving you, forsaking you, walking away from you, but in the front part of your ship, Jesus says, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. I'll go with you all the way to the end of the world. In the back part of your ship, you've had to prove everything to everybody. But in the front part of your ship, you're accepted just as you are, not as you think you ought to be. It's time for someone today to move to the front of the ship.
Thank you for listening to our podcast today. If you would like more info about our ministry or Pastor Rich, find us on Facebook or follow us on Twitter at Trinity Harvest. If this message has been a blessing to you, we'd love to hear about it. Send us a message or prayer request to info@trinityharvest.net.